church is defined in the glossary. Now, in order to join the organic symbol which Mrs. Eddy instituted, members had to subscribe to the six Christian Science tenets, which we come to finally in the 24th question and answer of this chapter. Why did they have to subscribe to them? Because they are the tenets of the body, the church, universal and triumphant, which itself brings the symbol into expression, and which itself dissolves and supersedes this once the symbol has served its temporary purpose. So have Christian Scientists any religious creed? They have not, if by that term is meant doctrinal beliefs. They have, however, the creed referred to in the 11th question and answer in this chapter, you remember, namely, divine science. Remember how the author tells us that her highest creed is divine science, which reduced to human apprehension, she's named Christian Science. Creed, credo, I believe. I believe in the divine system of Christian Science, to which divine science is reduced for the purpose of my understanding divine science. The unity and coincidence of the human and the divine, God and man one. So we find ourselves members eternally of this divine system, body, or universe. Understood through a system of capitalized, synonymous terms for God. And therefore, being itself an infinite diversity of identity in unity, the synonymity of infinite individuality forever harmoniously joined. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And therefore, in the tenets, it's never I. The first personal pronoun is always we. We take the inspired word of the Bible as our, together, sufficient guide to eternal life, and so on and so on. In other words, the key which we now have in our possession unlocks for us the scriptures. We take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life. Then opened he used the key, their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. They're on the threshold of the key to the scriptures. But not in isolation, but rather as a body. Because as we turn over to that verse from Revelation on which the whole key to the scriptures is based, we find that the state of thought to whom the key is given, before whom the door is now open that no man can shut, is the sixth in the order of Revelation's seven churches, namely the church in Philadelphia, the church or body of brotherly love. And corresponding, of course, to the sixth day of creation, the day of man in God's image, the day of the brotherhood of man. How prominent the symbol of six is in this chapter recapitulation, isn't it? First, the group of six questions and answers that point to the Word, the first side of this holy mother city, this church universal and triumphant. Then the second group of six that point to the Christ, the second side. Then the third group of six that point to Christianity, the third side. And lastly, the fourth group of six that point to science, the fourth side. And the final question and answer of all, itself consisting of the six tenets that qualify us for membership in this very four-square mother city, body, church, which the chapter as a whole has therefore unfolded. So now, the key that has been furnished opens up the scriptures for us. And we find it in the hands of the sixth of these seven churches, opening the way through the first 6 days of creation to the consummate seventh day. Now, is there a deep spiritual relationship between the six tenets and the order of the 6 days? Well, it's something we can all pray about, and it looks very much as if that is true. Well then, let's bring our summary of the work which we all did together on this tremendous 14th chapter. Let's bring it to a close by listening to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapters 11 and 12. It's absolutely in the spirit of the chapter as of recapitulation as a whole. It's in chapter 11, verse 24, that he quotes the words of Jesus to the disciples at the Passover. Take, eat, this is my body. Eat this bread and drink this cup. That is to say, in Christian Science, as we have seen, study thoroughly the letter and imbibe the spirit. Or again, take the little book. From beginning to end, take it and eat it up. Marvelously, therefore, he writes in chapter 12, fourth verse, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. See, clearly what he holds in view is a body or system of synonymous views of the infinite, all of which are diverse one from another in some shade of meaning, but which all refer to one and the same absolute God, just as we have it at the beginning of this chapter and indeed throughout the book. So he goes on, "For as the body is one and hath many members," see, it's the truth about plurality not being numerical, but being spiritual, and therefore always remaining one. "As the body is one and hath many members, so also is Christ. For the body is not one member only, but many. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. And again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. That there should be no schisms in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." So no wonder we find ourselves, as we turn over the page and enter the key to the Scriptures, being members together of the Church, the body of brotherly love, as that which alone is qualified to open the Scriptures and have set before it the open door to the inspired Word of the Bible as being our sufficient guide to eternal life.
End of recording.